Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Go-Getters Podcast. I wanted to jump in real quick because you'll be able to tell pretty early on that Ian was my former roommate for 4 years in my mid-20s, his early 30s. And the introduction turned into about 8 to 10 minutes of just some nonsense, which you may find entertaining. So you can feel free to listen to that. But if you want to move forward to the great civic project that is Light the Hone, just hit the skip button. Go straight to the 10-minute mark and you'll be good. And thanks again for tuning in. Just a reminder, this podcast is brought to you by On Milwaukee and Go Get It Marketing and Media. And please leave a review and subscribe if you have not done so already. Thanks for joining. It is a great episode, so feel free to listen away or just skip to 10 minutes and start the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to this very special edition of the Go-Getters Podcast. So the Hone Bridge is now lit. It was a 4-year process to raise $2.5 million and get the project over the goal line to get the west side of the bridge lit. Response seems great so far, and today we're going to be diving into why Light the Hone is important, how the idea started, the 4-year process to actually get it lit, and the other community initiatives that are sprouting off of it. See, we're keeping this professional today. Light the Hone, what it's involved in, and what it will take to get the rest of the bridge lit. I'm joined by Ian Abstin.
Heyo.
And Mike Hosted.
Hi.
The two main guys responsible for making this happen. Also a shout out to Greg Marshall and Lori Richards, who also played a big role. But before we can dive in, we have some announcements today. So as of last week, Ian is a father. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Ooh. Shout out to Bo Van Abstin.
And
we'll, powerful name.
Yeah. We'll touch on that a little bit. I want to give you more of a formal congratulations. But before we do that, we have something to settle. So I take a lot of pride in the content that we put out here on the Go-Getters Podcast. We don't want to be bringing any fake news out here. We want the facts, real Milwaukee facts, real good Milwaukee content. And I got to own up to it. I made some errors on a past episode.
Let's hear it. What do we got?
So I got called out. Chris Stegman. Friend of the show.
Oh, huh. Steggers.
A very polarizing figure in Milwaukee. Ian got to know him well. I believe Hosted knew him. Yes. So, I mean, this is perfect timing. So, I put out that episode with my dad on his book, The Presidential Playbook. If you haven't listened to that very popular episode, make sure to go back and do so. Very, very relevant with the election coming up. Stegman texts me. He said, Richie, .. Your dad was great. For the record, I didn't get kicked out of Joe Katz. I was denied entrance. So in the intro, I said, you know, my dad's a 2-time Ironman. So I was like, and he's a 2-time Ironman, like our friend Chris Stegman, friend of the show. But unlike Chris Stegman, friend of the show, he has not gotten kicked out of Joe Katz. So he was denied at entrance. Ian, I think you might have been there that night.
You know, history can rewrite itself by the victors. And since Chris Stegman clearly lost that evening, I think however you want to present this story is fact. And the fact that maybe your dad has yet to get kicked out of Joe Katz, for you listeners of the pod, just infamous spot on Brady Street pre-COVID. Stegman likes to bring it back from time to time. So maybe your dad can try a little bit harder and he too could see the same fate
from,
of Joe Katz.
From what I remembered, he got denied at entrance and then snuck in.
Oh, he got in.
Keep in mind, this is like the 49-year-old president of the Journal Sentinel, man. Just pulling a quick one. He's pretty elusive. He's short. He goes
through the sewers.
He's
or?
A good runner.
He might have,
No, I think he just ran right in. So,
I just remember the gets denied, pulls the "Do you know who I am?" flex while looking at a 20-year-old bouncer who's never read a newspaper in his life. So good.
Dude, it was the ultimate flex. I do want to bring up one more Chris Stegman flex. I went down to Arizona and I played in a golf event with him. And this is a 27-hole day one golf event. And it's a team event. And I'm on his team and we're playing these two guys. And we win the first 9 and he's doing good. It's a best ball. We each play our ball out and take the low score. And then the second 9, I mean, he's really having a good time. He's enjoying himself. He had a little too much to drink. And I shot a 33 on the back 9, which is insanely good. And we still lost by 2 holes because Stegman contributed 0 shots in a handicapped event. And in a handicapped event, I need a higher handicapper like him to do something. And then the last nine, the tiebreaker is a scramble where we each hit a shot and then you take the best one and you go from there. Stegman doesn't contribute a single shot till hole eight. We've used literally all my shots for like a 2.5 hour span. He's done nothing. He drains a 40-foot putt on hole eight to win the match, and then he's just chirping at the other team, telling them to suck it, telling them, yeah, the guy, first contributed shot in 2.5 hours. So, I mean, that I think that's accurate. I don't think Stegman can remember enough of that to actually fact-check that.
That's an experienced podcast host right there who not only finds a way to degrade his friend. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm a little afraid now what he's going to say about us.
But then elevate yourself with I shot a 33, which is insanely good for all you pods out there who don't know my golf game.
I don't shoot a lot of 33s.
That's fair.
Once in a while.
Richie also doesn't wear shoes when operating his podcast either. So we're caught in this small little room with his just socks on.
Keeping it comfy.
It smells like feet in COVID.
Got some really nice shorts on, though.
What does the F45 mean?
Oh, don't ask him. He's going to get a plug in.
You can probably tell by my physique cost that I go to F45. Best gym in Milwaukee.
Okay, got it.
So anyway, one more fact check by Stegman. Also, in one of the dating episodes, you in error reported that I, in my dating profile, that I was 5'10". That I think he's trying to say that he said in his dating profile he was 5'10". Never. 5'7", and I owned it. All right? Right. You know, hey, although I remember him and Krangle. I remember him and Krangle getting in a lot of arguments about who was taller, and Krangle clearly had him by an inch or two. But I think we can give Stegman 5'7". So
Stegman keeps up those morning push-ups, he'll be just fine.
Stegman, we miss you.
Miss you, buddy.
Hope all's well in Houston. So
still haven't met your fiance, Stegman.
She did accept my friend request, finally.
Yeah, that was
after a few months.
Might be
a Tabitha.
Tabitha, who we probably created the online profile.
We hope Tabitha's doing well. Congratulations. How's being a dad?
So we had a thank you, Richard. We had a baby 5 days ago. So this is my first real time out of the house without my wife. We had a nice little picnic yesterday. It was her birthday. And we have a beautiful little baby boy. Birth was crazy. For those of you who have ever had a child before, it was changes your life overnight. And my wife is a rock star, and she is out there right now sleeping. The baby's sleeping, and she's got it. So it's really cool. It's really cool. A lot of work.
Changed a diaper yet? There was a rumor that you have.
I've done two of them unsupervised.
Oh, really?
She's always there, like holding a leg or something. But I mean, I have like burped it, and then you're like, oh man. This baby needs its diaper changed, but then I'll be like, Rue needs to walk, my dog needs to walk, and they'll hand her a baby with a full diaper and take my dog for a walk and stick her with it. It's a pretty good strategy thus far.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll lead to many years of wedded bliss.
Happy wife, happy life.
You don't have any kids,
do you? No.
Mm-mm. Tell them about your tomato kids.
Yeah, I have 22 tomato plants. They are my children during the summer.
All of them have first, last, and middle names.
It's true. They're all named Tom. Get it. Come on. I'll show myself out.
All right.
Get this pod under control.
I have a gift for you. Yeah. So I got you some Milwaukee Home shirts for your birthday like 3 years ago.
Oh yeah.
I have them. I brought them.
Should I get you your Ray Allen jersey that I stole 6 years ago and wear to every Bucks game?
You have that. I think you got my sweater.
Oh man, I do. Which sweater? The one I met my wife wearing?
Like a bad breakup.
All right, you can keep it.
Yeah, I met my wife wearing this sweater. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's ever been washed. You also met a girl wearing that sweater one night too at Joe Katz. Came back covered in glitter.
What a sweater.
What a sweater. Legendary
sweater. Legendary sweater. I don't need it back.
Bought these 3 years
ago.
Why'd you never give these to me?
Because I'm a good friend. I give stuff back. I don't just keep my friends close.
Oh.
Wow. Astrid, I don't want you to feel left out. So here's a bottle of wine. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Richie. Look at that. It even says thank you. Wow.
Look at this one. This one's super soft. Oh, this is long sleeve. Oh, what? I would have, nice. If I was giving this to you, it's a hoodie. Yeah, a long sleeve.
I haven't
hoodie.
Even worn it.
I would have definitely not given you this one. I would have given you one shirt.
So happy birthday and congrats for having a kid.
Thank you, sir.
You can give this to Jackie, too. I'm sure she's been through a lot.
This is
GGMM bottle wine that says thank you. So you could be like, thanks for bearing my child and putting up thank just, you. From, sponsored by GGMM.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Limited edition.
Man, look at that. This will, I'll crack this the night we're going to have our second child. Thanks, Richard.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you.
Now we can get into the podcast. For somewhat formal introductions, Ian is the former founder of, he was the founder in Milwaukee. He is the founder of the Hone Group, which is in Madison and Milwaukee now. He does millennial consulting, whatever that means. He is the main speaker at TEDx Fargo.
So TEDx Fargo 2016, baby.
We have a TEDx speaker in the building today.
Wow.
He was my roommate for 4 years, if you can't tell by the introduction of the podcast. And sorry for putting everyone through that if you've made it this far. Great roommate, like the much older brother I never had. So
solid,
thank
solid.
You, thank you, Ian. And God,
do you want me to just go?
We should start talking about the Russian.
Keeps touching my feet under the table.
We're tucked over here. Hosted. Hosted's part of the Greater Milwaukee Committee and the co-founder That's and true. Executive director of the Commons, which is an amazing program for the city. We've actually done two Commons podcasts here. Both good episodes.
Thank you, Richie.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for all your comments.
Yeah. Thanks,
thank you guys for coming on today. It's good seeing both of you in person. I've missed seeing people in person. All right. So the bridge is lit. You got lights on it after 4.5 years. What have the last couple weeks been like? Has it been surreal? The thing looks good. I haven't seen it with my own two eyes yet.
Yeah.
The photos look amazing.
Yeah. The photos don't do it justice. You gotta go down and see it, I think. You know, the crazy thing was when we were doing the testing, Ian and I didn't get down to see it till like maybe day 2 or 3 of the testing. So we were seeing photos of it and hadn't actually seen it ourselves yet. And so seeing the photos, you're like, wow, this is exceeding our expectations. And then we went down there. And there's actually video of Ian and I seeing it for the very first time, which I'm so glad that those guys took, because like, it was a true moment of like, just, you know, we've been bearing down on this thing for almost 5 years and going through a lot to get this thing done. And to see it for the first time was so surreal. It still doesn't feel like it's lit.
Yeah. So we've been, you're telling this story to people and it's really hard to describe what lights are going to look like on an icon like the Hone Bridge. You can tell people, you can even, we've had really nice computer simulated drawings, but at the end of the day, it's essentially you're handing someone a piece of paper with a highlighter in the shape of the Hone Bridge and you're saying, wouldn't this be great? And it's really hard to get people to understand it. And then finally with that day, that big gift came in and we were saying, okay, now we're going to start buying lights. Then the first, after all those years and all that salesmanship, the first thing that goes to your stomach is, oh crap, what if these don't look as cool as we think they will? So that one moment of actually watching them and seeing them going on, and they're not only meet your expectations, but exceed them, but that doesn't even matter, watching people just flock to it. And I think you've seen a really good push on social media of just people that have seen the lights when they were on makes you really feel good about the effort that went in.
Yeah. So how did the idea start? This is kind of like, I don't think anyone saw this coming really. Actually, the bridge was supposed to be lit a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you kind of revived it. Did this idea come about, and why did you two want to take this on?
Well, you know, Ian and I do other things together besides light bridges, and one of them was to look at how
that we sounds might, weird.
That does sound weird.
Can I was, you try I was, that again?
I was, let me finish my thought. You made it weird. God.
All right. Here, I'll make it last
too long. Yeah. And now he's taking my picture while I talk. We were thinking about starting a group that would, this is just, that would connect current leaders with emerging leaders, future leaders. And as witty as we were, we said we should call it Hone, you know, because it's bridging generations, right? And lawyers were like, yeah, you should talk to this guy named Dan Steininger. He's the grandson of Daniel Hone, runs BizStarts. We know Dan. He's a friend. And so we talked to Dan, and of course, he gave permission to use the name for the group. And as we were walking out the door, Dan was like, by the way, he's like, one thing you guys might want to do is your group or what have you, you should light up the Hone Bridge. And so he told us a story, you know, about 2012, 13, around in there, an effort to light the bridge when they were redecking the bridge, a reconstruction project that never ended up seeing the light of day. And we walked out kind of thinking like, whatever, you know, that's kind of a crazy idea. And then we just couldn't get it out of our heads. The more we were thinking about it, the more we thought about how this could really be a community asset, not just lights on a bridge, but something for amazing for Milwaukee. And so that's kind of how we started to poke at that and see what it would take to really do this.
So
there's a nice man bun, by the way.
Thanks.
Ian just did his hair. Right, yeah. In front of us while
he was very distracting.
You give us these winter earphones that just make my head
They're
hot.
High quality headphones.
They are. Yeah. They are. Get off me. I'm a new dad, Richard.
I'm jealous. I can't grow that shit. I was play a hit on you.
Yeah,
that was,
totally.
I didn't want to call it a hat.
You know, I've been on the road game since we were living together.
So that's so true.
I had to give you some shit out of sheer jealousy.
That's fair.
Does that actually work? Should I be buying that?
I don't know. You can judge for yourself. I think I'm holding on decently.
Are you?
Maybe.
Well, yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, I'm not even.
It's relatively the same. But I've never met someone so young, so forward. Like I'm on the road game. That's my game.
I'm just owning it.
Owning it.
I don't think I'd look that good.
Which, because it's really hard to make fun of you for your Rogaine use when you just talk about it so openly.
Is this podcast sponsored by Rogaine?
No, we haven't got that big of a deal.
Because it could be now.
We'll reach out.
Yeah, we got that. You got that sponsor plug.
Yeah, you know, I was a little worried back when we were living together, you know.
Yep.
Girl came over. He kind of had to hide the Rogaine, but
yeah.
didn't know what they'd think. But other than that, I've been fine owning it. Anyway,
all right, good. So back to this. So yeah, we talked to Dan Steininger, and you know that was he gave us the idea, and it's you know how many people pitch you on good ideas, and you're like, yeah, that's cool. Someone should do that, not for us. And a month went by, and Mike just wouldn't drop it. It was. Yeah. If you look at the original article he sent us, it was a 2015 article of the bridge uplit and just blue lighting. Actually, wasn't that impressive. So what it looks like then to now, by the way, it's fact-checking you again while we're at it. It's actually been 3.5 million, not 2.5 like you gave the intro for. So I'm sure who's reading your notes.
Does 3.5 get the whole thing done?
No, 3.5 got us to where we are now.
All right.
4.6 gets the whole thing done.
Yep. Math.
Where can people donate?
LightTheHone.com, www.lightthehone.com. This podcast is sponsored by Light the Hone. It is now. So,
and Rogaine.
So we got, Mike did not let this idea get out of his head, and he kind of pushed a couple of times, and we finally said, all right, well, we'll take a look at that. And that was right around the time when we all in Wisconsin knew of this little guy named Giannis. He was a household name, but about a month after we talked to Dan, we have a rising star. Suddenly we're on the 7 p.m. ESPN primetime slot on like a Tuesday, probably because we're playing the Warriors. I don't even remember, but Milwaukee had a skyline shot on ESPN. And it was on the time when NM was being built. There was a panoramic shot going across the skyline, US Bank Tower, NM, et cetera, et cetera. All of a sudden when it ended the shot and it said, coming to you live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the end of that was the armpit of the city. It was the Hone Bridge, which is at night is just darkness. And over the Harbor District, and there was nothing happening. So that was the everlasting shot that we were telling the rest of the world on primetime TV. This is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that was the moment where like, that shit can't happen. Mm-hmm. Someone has to make this city look beautiful for those opportunities. And that was the minute it kind of clicked. And Mike and I said, all right, let's give this a go. And you know, there's nothing like putting something in writing, putting it down and launching it out to the internet to hold yourself accountable. And that was damn near 5 years ago. And here we are.
I listened to your podcast with Beth Ridley.
That was a tough one.
She does a great job with the Biz Times. If you want to check out other good Milwaukee podcast content, Biz Times, Dan Meyer, Beth Ridley, they do a great job over there. But I was listening to that podcast and you were, it was maybe more of a, because you're such a optimistic guy typically, it was a little more negative than you usually are. And it seems like, you guys had no clue what you were getting into trying to start this and that. It would be a lot easier to get that done. And I mean, if you look at it in the big scope of things, to do that to the skyline and how beautiful it looks right now, to get $4 million, $4.6 out of the city, you wouldn't think would be all that hard to do, right? With what it would bring to the city. But it was a struggle. Talk about that journey, kind of what you learned along the way and getting punched in the mouth trying to get this done.
Well, I mean, I'll say that thank God we didn't know what we were getting into when we started. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have done it or even started it. And so I think one of the things that we learned in all of this is that there is no playbook for how to bring about civic change in our city. And so we kind of created our own and probably did some things right, did many things wrong, and learned along the way. And, you know, there were many moments. I mean, we were just talking about this, Ian, about having a kid, that the highs are higher and the lows are lower, right? Yeah. I mean, doing a project like this, the highs were so high, but the lows were so, so low. And
like if a tomato goes down.
Right? If a tomato goes down, you see some blossom end rot. I mean, it's just, it's over, right? But no, in this whole process, I think we learned about how to have a little bit of a thicker skin. I knew I was a sensitive being, but until you do a project like this, do you really understand where your sensitivities lie? But you know, throughout all of this, we were kind of saying like, boy, we should really be documenting this. We you know, shame on us if we're not going to share this story and what it takes to do stuff in Milwaukee. If we're not going to share it with others and help people to bring about their own civic change. For us, it was about lights on a bridge and helping the community to see how we go from lighting a bridge to having a bigger community impact. For somebody else, it might be about making Milwaukee more family-friendly. It might be about improving education in our city. Whatever that thing is, many of the things that we went through and what we learned, excuse me, will apply to people that are trying to bring about change in their community today. It's just a matter of finding that passion that's going to keep you driving, because you are going to get kicked in the stomach and it is tough. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't trade this in for anything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we maybe turned into some cynical jerks a little bit along the way. But you know, there was a moment when we were out on the boat during the testing and we were pulling up along like the county boat launch, and there was, you know, it was dark. We couldn't really see, but you could hear kids like sitting on a park bench, and we were messing with the lights, and they were reacting as though they were fireworks. I mean, we could hear little kids cheering and clapping. And so we pulled up alongside of them and said, "Hey, what's your favorite color?" And they sort of were like, "What?" And we're like, "What's your favorite color?" And the kid yelled back, "Purple." And so we changed the bridge lights purple. And the kid went like nuts. Like that moment when you could see what joy this could bring to people and what it was doing for our city in a time when 2020 sucks so much for Milwaukee, like that was a huge moment, I think, of like, yeah, this was all worth it.
Totally. Yeah, I think Mike's a little bit more eloquent than I am. Mike's more well-spoken.
Hardly.
I have an idea before you dive in.
Please.
What about if Stegman comes back in town, he's noticing on the Kempton rooftop bar at the Journeyman giving him control of the lights. Could you imagine?
We're going to need a terrible idea.
We're going to need a sponsorship in writing before we hand over that. Yeah. Oh. So,
what's your favorite color?
Hey, little kid.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You can't be creepy about it.
Yeah. So he's changing the colors of the bridge from his jail cell.
Sorry.
So, I think along the way, you had mentioned the Beth Ridley podcast. That was a shitty day for me. That was one of the. That was that morning.
It sounded like it.
Man, and you're right.
I've been with you when you've gone through some shit too.
Yeah,
being your roommate for a while, but hearing you say that stuff publicly, it was very, it was very raw, and I think it paints the reality of getting a business off the ground, or I'm sure trying to get this done, which we go through, but not a lot of people talk about it or hear it. Yeah. So I was surprised listening to that from you, but I really enjoyed listening to it.
You enjoy listening to my pain.
No, it's just a different side you haven't seen your media before. I thought it was good that was out there.
That's fair. I did get a lot of like messages after that, like people checking in. It was the okay message. So it was, and Mike and I generally tag team, or Lori or Greg, one of the four of us are always on these. And that was for some reason one I couldn't do. And I was like by myself on that one. It was just Beth and I in a room. And I was like, suddenly, like just, we had heard no from a big donor that we'd been courting for months and months and months. And they said no that morning. And like, that was just raw. And I just felt like tears coming when you're trying to, you know, your public persona, you try and fake it that everything's positive and happy because you have to. You have to. For 2 years, we just went around essentially lying to ourselves. Like, oh, this is going to happen. What do you mean it's going to happen? No one has said yes with a substantial check.
You got like $3,000 bulb sold on the internet and you need $4.6 million.
Do the math. Yeah,
like, I bought a couple of those, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah, thank you. Did my mom and Jackie's mom, and that made up the $300 of lights. Yeah. It was, you've got the Hone Bridge, it's beautiful in its structure. And it's such a piece of the skyline. And we have an opportunity to make it iconic. And at night, and when you think about Wisconsin in a place where it's dark for 15 hours a day here during winter, and we could light that shit up. And it would only cost us now $4 million, a ton of money. I don't have $4 million, never seen $4 million or even a fraction of that. But in relative fashion to whatever else we're making investments in the city, man, what a kind of a bargain to light up and redefine your skyline and do all the tech things it can do. And you get exhausted because you've got this vision clear as day in your head of what it could look like and what it could do. And you keep pitching people and they keep, so I'm going to be a little raw here. We're Milwaukee Nice. Oh man, that's a great idea. We'd love to. That person who said, that's a great idea, but have you thought about this and tweak your proposal a little bit more? And you do all of that work. The person really means no, I'm not interested. You're not going to get this. I don't see your vision. Thanks for your energy. But actually, no, they don't tell you that. So they mean no on the first time. So you've come back 7, 8, 9, 12 times with the same, with an updated proposal based on their feedback. And it's still no. And it takes them for a while to get there. I'd rather hear the best no we heard was Gary Grunow. Who had just a pillar of the community. He's now passed away. But 2 years ago, I remember his email response. I have absolutely no interest in this project, but best of luck to you.
Yep.
I'm like, damn, I like that. Because
it's the second best thing you can hear is a sales in any role.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me a hard no. Let me move on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wish me luck. I felt good about it.
Totally. You
know? Yeah.
We had went through such highs and lows and man, this city is so hard to get anything done. It is so hard to get anything done. And especially, I mean, Mike and I, when we started, I was 33, you were 35, something like that. And so being that young and we were, to your point, if we knew how hard it was, we probably wouldn't have done it. The amount of frustration, I'm a cynical Milwaukeean sometimes now. I used to I'm a Labrador puppy and everything's great. And I can't, a painting there. This is so great. Man, after this project, you're a little beaten down. You're wiser. You've now done something, but I think I'm a little less optimistic on some days than I maybe was before because I realize how hard change actually is.
Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and like all of you, we've had to adapt during COVID. We've had to adapt our business and pivot and adjust a little bit, and what that's meant for us has been creating these online trainings. So we've created a couple podcast trainings, How to Profit Through Podcasting and The Pod Playbook, which are both available on our website, ggmm.io, for anyone who's interested in starting a podcast or growing their current show. They're great for individuals as well as companies. And what I wanted to tell you about today is we just launched a new marketing workshop specifically for small business owners. A lot of small businesses have trouble communicating and generating leads online. And what we've done is really simplified it. So we go over the reasons why people buy, how to do market research without the fluff and really get to know your customers efficiently. We go over our storytelling formula, so how to tell a great brand story and how that applies directly to your website. So your website is structured and optimized for conversion and has the elements that it needs on it, as well as how to create social content and how to set up a basic value ladder and sales funnel for your business. So if you work for a small business, if you are a small business owner, make sure to check this out. We have a launch special going on right now. You can get it for $50 off. It's only $47. Head to ggmm.io/ignite. ggmm.io/ignite. Thanks for joining us again today. Let's get back to the show. Ian, from your standpoint, because you've pretty much made a career on creating cool shit out of thin air. like with essentially with Milwaukee. I mean, that started from scratch, mm-hmm. and you grew it to pretty much, what was it, the largest young professional network in the in the country?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we started with pub crawls.
Right,
remember the
right.
St. Patrick's Day shuffle and stuff.
Yeah. So, you did that. I mean, you've kind of done the adult version of that with mm-hmm. the Hone Group. Mm-hmm. But were there similarities between this and getting something like Milwaukee off the ground, which you had to get investors and sponsors and no one had really ever heard of it? Hey, invest in these young professional events, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was there correlations? You know, it seemed like...
That's a good question.
It seemed like with that, at least when you were when you were running Milwaukee until, you know, things fell when you guys split, like you always seemed relatively optimistic and mm-hmm. that clearly was not easy to get off the ground.
Yeah. So that's a very good question. I think so. Mike and Lori and Greg, you have to have partners. Entrepreneurship is such a lonely, and I'll look at this bridge as an entrepreneurial journey because you're creating something on a scratch, but your highs and lows are evened out with partners because Mike would have a rough day and I would mm-hmm. basically lie to him and be like, it's all good. We got this. And vice versa. I'm actually, of the two of us, more of the emotional erratic one. Mm-hmm. I'm the, what did you say the other day? I'm the go, you're the woe. Like correct. He keeps like, mm-hmm. shut up, dude. We'll get this going. So we have a good partnership and Lori and Greg were just awesome and all that. But with Milwaukee, growing that, it was, you get so frustrated. I'll dial it down this way. Our biggest problem of all the big problems we have, population growth is one of our biggest. If you look at right now, cities are on the rise. More people are moving to cities. And Milwaukee, we are a stagnant city. In fact, without the growth of our Latino population in the last 10 years, we would be down a couple of percent.
Yeah, the Latinos are carrying it.
Carrying the water. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Absolutely. Right? Latino community, the Hmong community, there's growing groups in Milwaukee that are probably widely underrepresented. And we don't mm-hmm. even as a community understand where that, but population growth per person brings taxes and the census, et cetera, et cetera. And we're not growing as a city. What does that tell you? That tells me that the investments we're making as a community are not working to retain the young people or attract new people here. So we have some fundamental problems with whatever equation we're working off of with our business leadership that's saying, don't worry, I got it. We've formed this group or alliance and we are responsible for this. Whatever this is, isn't working. Whatever civic investments we're making right now is not attractive to the next generation that they are willing to call Milwaukee home, or the boomerangs who used to live here, went to San Francisco, are making great money out of Google and paying San Francisco rent. And now they have to start looking at new places to raise a family because good luck buying that 2-bedroom condo in San Francisco. That's a $2 million proposition. And now they're looking at other places to move to because they've just realized I can work remote anywhere. And if we're not making those investments in Milwaukee to attract those people back, we're failing. And no one is looking at the city the way we do. Who's going to move? Who do we need to attract? Young people. Young people are making the decision on where to live. You doing a civic project or something attractive for 70-year-old people, which often happens here because those are the ones with resources and money and power and connections and political will. So we keep doing things meant for 70-year-olds to keep them happy so they can drive back out to Lake Country and visit cities occasionally. That's the Milwaukee way. No one is listening to what young people want because young people are the ones you have to attract to keep here or bring here because they're the ones willing to move. If you're over the age of 50, data shows you're not moving because a city has vitality. You're moving because a spouse or a job opportunity has nothing to do with Milwaukee's cool, I want to live there. So we need to start doing projects and building things that keep people in the city and inspire new ones to want to create a career here.
And you guys have both, I mean, that's essentially what both of you do is trying to track talent to Milwaukee, Hosta to you through the commons. You're doing that with students, trying to keep them in Milwaukee and give them opportunities. Ian, that's pretty much all you've done the last 12 plus years between Milwaukee and the Hone Group and mm-hmm. Light the Hone is you're just championing the city and trying to keep people here and get people here. So it seems like, I mean, you guys have obviously both done incredible things. What yet the population has stayed very stagnant other than the Latino community. Where do we need help from? Who has to actually do stuff? Because you guys are clearly making an impact, but it doesn't seem like it's, you know, it's big enough yet.
That's a really good question. I think, you know, if I put on my other hat in my day job in the commons and trying to retain talent here in Milwaukee, right, there's a lot that goes into that, obviously. You know, Ian had made the analogy once about, like, if people are flowing out of your community and it's water in a bucket, if you just put your finger over the hole where everybody's leaving, like you eventually start to fill up the bucket. And so we look at the commons and what we do with the commons as being a low effort way to just change minds of young people about the opportunities that exist here in Milwaukee. But I think to your question, Richie, I think there needs to be more of a maybe a collaborative effort, more of a
intergenerational.
Yeah, intergenerational. And I also think just sometimes we have a tendency, I'm being a little facetious, a lot of times we have a tendency to work in silos in Milwaukee. And so I love that our entrepreneurial spirit extends into all aspects of what we do in Milwaukee, but sometimes there needs to be more collaboration because there's a finite amount of resources to be able to do some of the things that we want to do. And so combining efforts and working better together to have a bigger impact with the finite amount of resources, I think is a really important thing that we need to kind of shift our mindset. So are there ways that we can, you know, that the Commons, for example, could work with other groups and different talent development and retention organizations in Milwaukee to have a greater impact with less outlay of resource? Absolutely. Do we think differently about how we go out and attract talent into Milwaukee and work better? The city has a millennial task force and there's a lot of people thinking about this, but I think the challenge comes into when it comes time to execute, how do we execute together? How do we execute in a way that has the biggest impact without constantly going to the same wells of funding to be able to get that done? Because those wells, I won't say are running dry, are getting tired. I think there's a need for Milwaukee to show that it's ready to do things differently, to re-energize those that still have the means to be able to support those new ideas. And so I think, you know, bringing this back to light the hone, there's an opportunity here in the way that we've done this effort. And that's not a pat on the back. I think we kind of accidentally fell into some of these things. What maybe we've outlined here is a different way of doing big projects. And whether that's putting lights on a bridge or changing the face of education in Milwaukee, maybe it's time for us to think about a different way of doing things, a different way of engaging funders, a different way of engaging our elected leaders. I think we're ripe for that. And we've heard that from supporters of this effort that it's time to maybe do some things a little bit differently in Milwaukee. And I think we've also heard that to Ian's point, there's a lot of established leaders that have come together to help us get this done. And they deserve a lot of credit because we wouldn't have been able to get this done without them. But that is part of the structure of how you get things done in Milwaukee.
Any established leaders that you were surprised by where you were like, oh, they're never going to support this or they
all
don't
of them.
Seem like.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I.
Any big names you want to give a shout out to?
Richie Burke.
who bought three bulbs. I think I contributed maybe $1.50.
Hey, man, if everybody else would have bought three bulbs, it would have been those a long time ago. I'd say big shout out. I mean, David Lubar and Greg Marcus and Ted Kellner and Julia Taylor, Katie High. There's some people early on that
Bill Haberman.
Bill Haberman. Yeah, Bill Haberman before he passed away. He was our first 30K into this, I believe. And man, he loved this project. And he after we got that money, we're like, whoa, this is going to be easy. I don't think we got it for a while.
But you know, Bill had an interesting point too about he was involved with the public market. You know, and like that was a vision that he had to sell people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had on the ups and downs, we had one of our worst downs. We had like 6 and maybe 7 months of literally everyone said no. bulbs that no one bought a bulb for like 6 weeks. Not even a birthday bulb. Not even a pity. Not even my mom was like, all right, you guys need a...
Your mom was actually asking for her money back.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And then one of our friends, we had a good meeting with our friend Lacey Sadoff, and she kicked in a donation just at the right, like at the right time when our confidence was just peak low. I'll say, so we've got great people in Milwaukee. Those business leaders we all just mentioned, they're incredible people, but I think we're in a system like, okay, you need to fundraise. Okay, rent out the hotel, chicken dinner, paddle raise, emotional video, silent auction, be on your way. That is the Milwaukee model. And let me tell you, it's broken. It is so broken because I'm sitting there with my wife and I'm putting on another suit that I probably hadn't dry cleaned since the last Friday. She's putting on another dress and she's like, what's the fundraiser today? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's at you know, fill in the blank event space where we were last week and it's the same MC, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we can be, and I think that might be one of the silver linings of COVID. It's forced a lot of people to think a little bit differently on ways to engage people. Because all of a sudden someone's grandpa has been doing that and they want us to do that. And they're suddenly surprised that they can't get young people to go to the fundraisers, to the gala, to join fill in the blank club or Rotary, et cetera, et cetera. It's because we don't want that. We think differently. And we just need to put a stop to it right now and start thinking a little bit different. And to be fair, I think today's leaders of the community want the same thing. Yeah. They actually want the same thing. And I think that's why this project got done, because they looked at it and said, I want to help.
Yeah. I don't think there's anyone trying to put their foot on the brake. I think it's just, it's inertia, it's momentum, right? We've always done it this way. And so like when we launched in May of 2018 and people thought that we were launching like a professionally done fundraising campaign. So they're like, so you've got 80% in the bank, right? Now that you're going public, we're like, no, we have $0.00 in the bank. And people looked at us like, what? You know, like there was just no comprehension, because every other major capital campaign, you quietly raise 80% of it and then you go public for the remaining 20.
And then people chip in because they know it's going to get done.
Yeah. Because
Everybody wants to be on a winning team.
I mean, I'll tell you what's more humbling than anything is how many people took a chance on us. I mean, even in the darkest days, there were still, I mean, I think of like Kevin Fletcher, the CEO of We Energies, like literally coming down to the lobby to take us up to talk about lighting a bridge, and getting a text from him like a couple days later when his kid was in town, walking down through Summerfest and looking up, his kid from Atlanta, looking up at the Hone Bridge and saying, you know, you guys should light that bridge. And that was a moment where Kevin was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And Kevin and all the team at We Energies have been huge supporters of what we do. And those are those moments where people could see what we could see in the very beginning, and thank God for them.
I want to make a point on the analogy of fireworks. For the city, everybody knows, hey, I'm going to host an event. You can get sponsorship for an event. I'm going to do a thing. It will last 12 hours. And Milwaukee knows how to sponsor that, right? We did that all in Milwaukee. And Ange and Jeremy and I also compared it to like event hangovers. You do put all this effort into the night market, this beautiful thing. And the next day, the tents are gone. The carpet's rolled up. The lights are gone. And you've got this feeling of like sadness because you put all that effort into this thing that lasted just a moment in time. And it was so frustrating to me because we're like, wait a minute. This is going to be on every night. It doesn't shut down for holidays. It will be just shining a light on the city every night. And new visitors that come into Milwaukee, they'll see this beautiful thing on the skyline. And Milwaukee doesn't know how to fund that. We've never funded that kind of stuff before, especially coming from guys like with last names like us, which doesn't open a lot of doors. Yeah. And that's why it was really, really necessary for all of those people that we've mentioned before to like, you're not going to get anything done. Because you go ask somebody and they're like, they'll call the five other people, be like, hey, is this guy legit? And they're like, hey, it's actually a great project. We're supporting it. And that's how the momentum built.
Yeah.
I want to get both of your opinions on how COVID has affected the city, because you can argue that COVID has screwed Milwaukee more than any other city. We had the DNC coming here, a potential Bucks finals run, which, you know, that I think that still would have happened if it didn't go the bubble. You had the Ryder Cup. I mean, we were going to be in the national spotlight. So you see all that momentum going on in the city, and maybe that helps the city make a big leap in the future. We're getting all this talent to come experience Milwaukee in the summer when it's at its best firsthand, and none of that happened. How much do you guys think that hurt the city? And do you have any thoughts on, you know, how we can get that momentum back? Or is that just kind of a blown opportunity? Obviously, no one's fault, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it profoundly hurt the city in terms of just the general self-esteem, I'll say, of the city. I've often talked about Milwaukee having a little bit of an Eeyore complex, where in the past, you know, a good thing would happen, or we'd get, you know, praise on from like you know, a New York based publication, what have you, and it would be like, wow, this is great, and then it was always like, yeah, but, and then this litany of things that we still need to fix and that are wrong with Milwaukee and so forth. I felt like 2020 was the year where Milwaukee had some swagger, right, or where we were supposed to have some swagger. We were justified in being able to say, yeah, look at us, you know, we're doing some cool stuff here. And my hope in what 2020 was to be for Milwaukee was that it would have diminished some of that Eeyore attitude, or at least given us the motivation to build on that sort of, like, everybody's looking at Milwaukee and saying, wow, this is a great city, to work collectively to start to change some of the faults that are in our city. No city is faultless, right? I mean, like, we put other cities up on this, like, fake pedestal for a reason I don't understand. Like, Seattle can have these things and Portland can have these things, but Milwaukee can't, because we still got all of this other work to do. And so I had hoped that 2020 would start to change maybe the self-esteem of Milwaukee. And I say that, and I fully fall into that Eeyore category from time to time, probably more than time to time, just in full transparency. How do we get it back? I think that in a weird way, COVID has done a lot to bring people together, to show some of the best parts of our city. I mean, I think of what, like, Caitlin Cullen is doing at the Tandem and what she's doing to help kids in her neighborhood through COVID and giving them mentoring and providing meals to families. I mean, like, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it takes a crisis to bring out the best in a community. And I think we've seen that in Milwaukee over all of 2020. Part of what I feel like with lighting this bridge is that, you know, we're lighting it in what I'd say is some of the worst times in recent memory for people, right? And so does that bridge get tied to the worst times of 2020, or lighting it get tied to the worst times of 2020? And maybe that's okay. Maybe we need a remembrance every now and then that we managed to make it through a tough time in 2020, and that we need to remember that we can be good to each other, because we generally, I think, have been in times of crisis through 2020, been good to each other. And so maybe people need to look at those lights every now and then and remember that, even when, you know, we've pushed beyond 2020, we've pushed beyond a pandemic, we're hopefully working towards our social issues. You know, you need that reminder every now and then. So while it's joyous right now, maybe there's a part of it that needs to be remembering of the tough parts too.
Yeah, Milwaukee got its butt kicked on this one, right? I mean, especially if you're just watching all the rest. I worry so much because the restaurants are the cultural heartbeat of the city. And man, when some of these things, like the Brewers, the Packers, they'll be fine. But your Brady Street restaurants that you have such memories of, and all the little, like, holes in the wall that, like, provide and curate the culture of a city, that's what I'm really worried about. And this, I think, man, holy cow, leadership. Wisconsin, I think, what are we peaking in COVID cases right now?
Yeah, we just today got back to 25% capacity, at least here in bars and restaurants.
Congratulations, us.
Yeah. Ordered.
Mm-hmm. We're the dirty kids.
And so the problems we're seeing, I think, in our little bubble here in Milwaukee, I think you're seeing at the state and national level, it's, man, we've got these leaders that we consider leaders, and they just keep fighting. And we're passing you know, mask ordinances and then suing one, like, holy cow, what a shitty way.
I mean, COVID got so politicized.
Unbelievable. I mean, the president, you know, having whatever.
I mean, he just tweeted out to not be scared of it.
Don't be scared of it. I beat this with the best healthcare system in the world.
Yeah. I only spent a couple of days in the hospital. Yeah. Don't let it affect your
it's
life.
Like the common cold. Yeah, no worries. You got this.
I mean, what an idiot. Yeah. I'm sorry. You don't get political. And
I agree with you. And I'm very down the line politically, typically. Yeah. But this guy is an absolute disaster. Please vote in a couple of weeks. But
anyway. The system. There's a system that doesn't work. And we see that locally and clearly nationally. And just locally, the Republicans and Democrats can't just get in line for the health of your state. Damn it. And in all of this, like, who are we supposed to look up to right now? And I think that's what hurts us most of anything. There's like just fighting, and what a toxic time right now, whether it's local elections or national, like fathers not speaking to their kids for the last 6 months because they could have differing opinions on President Trump or Obama. And that is what's like the conversations that are lingering over upcoming Thanksgiving meals. No thanks. I mean, it's a tough time right now. So to your question, Milwaukee took a gut punch, but there's always a gut punch. It's how do you rebound? So 2020, these lights might be a remembrance of the hardship. I think it is going to be the point we look at as the rebound. That's when we bounced. What's next? This project we're beat. It's a lot of work, but I have never been so inspired. Like the crankiness you're hearing from me, man, we've got an anonymous donor I've never heard from before who donated most of this. If I'm going to be honest, we knocked on every door in the city and they all said no. And an anonymous donor we never knew before came and said, I like that. Here's this. And came back again to do the same to make sure we got this damn thing done. Holy cow. I am so inspired by the amount of wonderful human beings out there. And I'll also say there's a lot of uninspired wealth in Milwaukee. There's a lot of people that haven't been downtown in years who want to make Milwaukee a better place. No, not even that. I wouldn't say that. They want their kids and their grandkids to stick around. That's what they want. They don't want their grandkids and children to move away. So they might not politically align with what we do. They might hate the streetcar, but they're like, if it's going to make Milwaukee region more attractive that my children want to raise their grandchildren here and I get to be close to them, because man, flights to Austin aren't cheap. That is what we can get behind. We just need to make the region better. And I think this project, it'll be a small part in a bounce back of Milwaukee. Man, we just need something to cheer for right now. We need some hope. And I hope this is a small part of that.
Last thing, do you guys want to touch on some of the initiatives that are coming from Light the Hone? I know there's Code the Hone. And what do you ultimately want to see this project do?
Yeah, Code the Hone, I think, is what we're really excited about. You know, now that we've got lights up on the bridge, we can implement some of these things. We've always said that we wanted this to be about more than lights.
What is Code the Hone for
people? Yeah, so Code the Hone is an initiative that we'll be launching that will teach 5th through 12th graders how to code using the bridge lights. And so there's a real opportunity there to teach some skills that all of our business leaders are saying that they need. We need programming skills, STEM skills, STEAM, we need arts. All of that will come together in this program that we're going to be launching in 2021 to teach kids how to code.
So to Mike's, Mike drove this project, and we were originally, when the lights went up, we're going up. We were most excited about the lights. Now we wake up and we get giddy about coding. And I have no coding history or background. And we were on a call this afternoon about Code the Hone. I didn't understand the first 10 slides. I just don't. It's over my head. I'm not a computer engineer by any means. But man, every job moving forward, it's computers. It is computers. And how do you inspire kids to want to not use your computer for gaming or social media, but actually to learn how to code, because that is the future. And if you can crack that code, you figured out the next generation and how to inspire them. So how do you do that? Well, if you look at the bridge, not as a lit bridge or a landmark, but as a 1,000-foot-wide internet, the word I'm looking for is 1,000-foot-wide, completely...
It's a classroom.
it's a classroom. It's like a whiteboard. It's a futuristic way to learn. And imagine being a fifth grader and learning basic coding and then driving down to the lakefront with your family. We hit enter and you see your last semester's worth of work up in lights. That is going to, when I was younger, I wanted to be a gym teacher until I was like a sophomore, because that was the only thing I saw in my life that inspired me. Like, that looks fun. I want to play dodgeball. Okay, I was young, but you need to inspire kids. You need to show them that they can carve out a career. And I don't understand how big this can get yet, but I'll say this, the amount of attention, not only locally, but nationally, there's people reaching out saying, how'd you guys do that in this coding thing? That's amazing. And our Philips partners are like, that is replicable. Yeah. That could be happening. It doesn't need to be a bridge, but any lighting project or interactive project in any city, you could do the same thing that we accidentally stumbled on. Code the Hone was not our idea. It was someone else coming to us. It was Mark Fairbanks.
Yep, from Islands.
Yeah. From Islands of Brilliance, saying, have you guys thought about this? Yeah. Amazing guy.
Yeah.
And so that this bridge isn't our project. It was really the community's project. And we just get to kind of be the stewards. And man, on your best days, what an honor. And on your worst days, what a pain it was to get it here. But looking back, it was so cool. And Milwaukee's going to have a landmark. And I think, Code the Hone, I think you'll know the lights, but Code the Hone is what's going to put Milwaukee maybe on a national stage for that learning.
That's the thing that lasts.
It does.
We're not done. I mean, that's the exciting thing, is that there's still plenty more to do from lighting another side, of course, but the Code the Hone piece is, I think, what puts our feet on the ground now in the mornings.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for coming on today. Yeah. I'm proud of what you accomplished.
Thanks, Richie.
Seeing both of you in person. Just a reminder to everyone listening, the show is brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our friends over at On Milwaukee. And if you got anything out of this episode, please make sure to write a review and subscribe if you have not already. And thanks again for joining us. And go to lightthehone.com if you want to donate.
This episode also brought to you by lightthehone.com.
There you go.
Go buy your lights, $25. It'll be there forever. Mm-hmm.